blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 119, stanzas 3 and 4. O send thou forth thy light and truth, let them be guides to me, and bring me to thy holy hill, thy dwelling place to see, and thy dwelling place to see. 3 and 4 of Psalter 119.
Thank you. this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to John, the 12th chapter, the first 26 verses. John 12, but first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 12, beginning with verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead. There they made Him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped His feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of His disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray Him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This He said, not that He cared for the poor, but because He was a thief and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of My burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but Me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that He was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom He had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet Him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when He had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not His disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of Him, and that they had done these things unto Him. The people therefore that was with Him, when He called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met Him, for that they heard that He had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after Him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come, that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, most just, most righteous, holy, long-suffering, but also merciful and gracious God of the heavens and of the earth, we are thy creatures, and we come in thy house as we have been born in a state of nature, in a state of guilt. Each one of us has to stand before thee, and we cannot give a good answer that is sufficient to stand in thy judgment. We must be cut off. We must be cast away from thee because we have sinned against thee and we are corrupt from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. Oh, there is not one of us, old or young, that is able to put his hand into his own bosom and to take it out clean. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Thou seest in our hearts, we do not see it unless thou dost open it unto us. Oh, that thou may show us a little. Oh, if thou showest us all, we shall not be able to endure it. But wilt thou show us sufficient that we might lose everything from our own side, every hope and every expectation, that there may be hope, that there may be true hope, that there may be a good hope revealed within our hearts, received by a true and a living faith, and by an afflicted and a poor people who may come to trust in the name of the Lord. Lord, thou knowest each one also in this day, for thou knowest the weak that this does begin, and when in the institution of thee, thou wilt have us to commemorate thy death till thou dost come, and when thou hast given it for the sake of thy church, and that thou might strengthen them upon the way in the warfare, then thou dost also say, and that we must examine ourselves. And so we begin in this hour that great and that difficult work. But oh, that thou may give to us that clarity that is necessary to bring forth those marks by which we may examine ourselves, each and every one of us. Oh, that we may be given light from above, and that we may be given instruction, and that we may be given desire, a holy desire, longings, so to show forth thy death until thou dost come, and that we so may eat and drink with great profit for our souls, and in the midst of the congregation wherein we do dwell. Oh, that thou may give us together to see the reality of our life, that there is only two ways, that either that we are in the kingdom of darkness or we are in the kingdom of light, and that there is no third way, and that we do so often make a way of outward religion, and yet it is in itself insufficient. O Lord, open thou our eyes, and that we might see where that we stand in thy own eyes, and that we might see what we stand in need of in order to live in comfort and to die in peace. Oh, that we might learn to hasten for the sake of our lives, we and our dear children, and that we could not remain in that same state in which that we have been born. Oh, that all these things may be useful for us, each one of us upon our journey, and that it may become a burden to us to live upon this world in the midst of sin, both within and without, and that we may have a desire to do as thou didst say unto Lot, and make haste, flee for thy life's sake, and that we may not look back as his wife, but that that desire may be borne by thy Spirit, and which shall be preserved by thy Spirit, and so will persevere unto the end. Lord, remember each and every one, and because thou knowest those who do say with thy servant of old, it is the point I long to know, and oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? And thou knowest, Lord, what it shall be for them also in the week that is begun. Then it can be so very, very difficult. But Lord, that thou would be on the right and on the left, and that thou may open thy holy word, and wilt thou give light upon thy truth and upon their own way. And thou dost so often stand behind our wall. O Lord, could it please thee to look a little through the lattice upon thy people, and that it may also in the way of examination be a good week, may be a good time, with thy Spirit's presence, nearness, and favor. For thou art the Lord of thy own, and they are thy own children, or that thou may feed them a little upon the Meshech of this world, upon that wilderness journey. Wilt thou remember us if we do have a false opinion concerning ourselves? Lord, thou knowest that by nature it is false. We need that opened unto us. But it can also be, and that we have an idea, and that we have an opinion, and that we have a thought, and that it is thy own work, and when it has all been begun from our own side, and the great fear of thy church, but the assumption of the hypocrite. O Lord, thou art he that art able to undeceive, and do it in thy mercy, because when we will die, and when we will stand before thee, and we will say, open unto us, and thou wilt say, I never knew you. Depart from me, workers of iniquity. O Lord, what shall it be then? Undeceive us, and while it is still a day of grace, make it true, Lord. Make us honest before thee and with our own souls, and bring us into that place that we cannot bring ourselves, and that thou may deliver us from all our iniquity. Give us a good hour together in thy favor. Remember all afflicted and sick ones. Lord, we lay again especially before thee our brother, who must begin treatments in this week, and thou knowest all the needs, and thou knowest all the fears and the thoughts of his heart. O Lord, could it please thee in this time that thou may visit him, and that thou may be near unto him, and that thou may bless the means for the need of his body, that thou may also visit him in his soul. Lord, that the reality of death, and that a man is faced with in such a circumstance, and which he fears will go away, O Lord, that thou may bring it within, and then to his wife, his children, and each and every one of us, because we see it all around us day by day. Remember those that have stood by an open grave in this week. Lord, be near unto them, the children, the grandchildren. Thou knowest each and every one of them. Or that thou may hear their cries when there is no father or mother anymore in this world, and that the Lord would take them up. Remember all afflicted in the mind, in the body. Thou knowest where that they are. Wilt thou bless thy word also in this afternoon? Be among us feelingly, O Lord. Be among us believingly, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 295 all the stanzas. They that traffic on the sea, while unceasing watch they keep, see Jehovah's majesty and his wonders in the deep. For he bids the storm wind fly, lifting ocean's waves on high. 1-4 of Psalter 295. beloved congregation. Next week, the Lord willing, we hope to commemorate once again the Holy Supper of the Lord. That is a solemn matter. It is a matter that requires self-examination. As the Apostle Paul has said, so let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. There is really a twofold examination. The first is not so very difficult, because we need to be a confessing member of the church that is in good standing, and our life that may not be an offense in the midst of the congregation wherein that we do dwell. But that second examination, that is whether or not we have a divine right, that congregation is not so very easy. And why is that not easy? Because we read in God's word that our heart is deceitful above all things, and that it is desperately wicked. Do you believe that? Self-examination. The Lord Jesus did tell of two men. They were both in the temple of the Lord. And when they did examine themselves, and then what was their conclusion? The one did say, I thank thee, Lord, that I am not as other men are. That was his conclusion. And when he looked in his own heart, and that man did desire to take the highest seat. Is that the conclusion when we look in our own heart? And there was another man, a man that had only to smite upon his breast and to say, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. No, he was not ready to place himself forward, but he was ready to place himself on the outside. And now we must examine ourselves. This is, congregation, not an examination, a line that is drawn through the congregation in perfection by the Lord, because that indeed would be a perfect line, but we can get it all wrong, because we have to examine ourselves. And so it can be that God's afflicted and his poor people are sitting yet in their bench, whom the Lord did institute that table for, to help them upon their wilderness journey, missing the blessing that the Lord has set aside for them. And the hypocrite, he is at the table, eating and drinking, judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Congregation, what an honesty that we need to be given from above for self-examination, and also what light, divine light. Do you need that? David said, in thy light shall we see light? May the Lord then give such light in this day and in this week, our text. For this afternoon, our in the beginning of this work of self-examination can be found in the portion that was read to you. John 12, and thereof the 24th verse. John 12, verse 24. Verily, verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So far the words of our text. Our theme is fruitful death. First, a profound picture. Second, a twofold application. Fruitful death. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Fruitful death. First, a profound picture. Second, a twofold application. Verily, verily, I say unto you, who says that? That is the Lord Jesus. That is who is speaking. And who is the Lord Jesus? Boys and girls, you can tell us who that the Lord Jesus is. You say the Lord Jesus is God. That is God himself. Thus every word that has come out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus is a word that has come from heaven itself. Do we stop and listen, congregation, when the Lord speaks? Do you stop and listen, young people, when the word of God is read? Also in this afternoon, this is not only the Lord Jesus who is speaking, but we see that the Lord Jesus uses a special form of words. And in those words he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, that is, truly, truly, I say unto you. Thus the Lord Jesus is using a certain form of the oath. Is that necessary? That was not necessary for the Lord Jesus himself, but it was necessary for the persons unto whom that the Lord Jesus was speaking. And why was that necessary for them? Because, and we read that every so often in the Word of God, not every time, no, but every so often that the Lord Jesus is using those words. Because there are times that the Lord would take, as it were, the attention of his disciples. And he would say unto his disciples, you must stop now. And you must listen unto me. Why was that so necessary for his disciples? Well, there were some things that the Lord Jesus said, and he said many things to his disciples, and the disciples have heard them. But there were other things that the Lord Jesus said that the disciples did not hear. That's so with you too, young people, children, when your mother speaks or your father speaks. And then there are some things that you hear, and there are some things you do not hear. And why is that? Well, maybe then you are the same as the disciples, because there were some things that the disciples did not want to hear. They did not want to hear. Could they then change the reality? The truth of what the Lord Jesus was going to say, they could not change that. But there are certain things that people have their ears closed for. And they cannot change that reality. If the Lord Jesus did not prevent, then his own church would bring themselves into that eternal death. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Lord Jesus, he says, stop now a moment, my disciples, and listen to what I have to say to you. Circumcise your ears and let this sink down into your hearts. Because things are not going to go in the same way as you think that they are going to go. And then he begins to speak about what? He begins to speak about a corn of wheat. Just, boys and girls, a little seed. A little tiny seed. And that seed is already in itself a very profound thing. How the Lord is feeding all his creatures that he has made upon the world, all of the animals and human beings. The evolutionists do not think that that is so profound at all. They think that that wonderful system and that the Lord has brought together, that that can just come about all by itself. That it can be developed by itself. That it can think out its own end. That it does not need an eternal mind and wisdom. That is foolishness. But the Lord Jesus is not speaking about the creation. No, the Lord Jesus is speaking about redemption. And redemption, congregation, is a much greater thing. A much greater thing even than the creation itself. A profound thing. And thus, in the goodness of the Lord gives to us an illustration of something that is so profound in this world. That we may receive a little instruction about those things and that we cannot see, that are not evident unto our natural eyes. A corn of wheat, verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. What does the Lord Jesus say? That the life of that plant, the life of that wheat plant and every other plant, that can only come about in one way, and that is through death. There is no other way, except, he says, that that corn of wheat fall into that ground and die. If you will leave that alone, if it will never fall, then it is also going to remain just the way that it is. And we say that is a very profound thing. You ever think so too, how that a farmer is going out and that he is casting that wheat out into the field? That he is burying that wheat. Oh, we would say that is foolishness. If someone did not know just how that would go, then he says that farmer, he is nothing but a fool. Because he has just thrown it all away. He has just buried it in the ground. There it is going to decay. There it is going to waste away. There it is going to die, and there it is going to perish. But the farmer knows different. No, he cannot explain that. Does not know how that happens. But he knows that it happens. He experiences that happens. that is happening every year again. And that is indeed to him a profound wonder. That is something he cannot effect. It is something he cannot bring forth. It is something he cannot comprehend. But he says that is now the wonder of God, that the Lord is bringing forth life out of the death. And then he knows something else. He knows that that is the only way. That is the only way. And when he is slothful, and when that seed is laid up in his barn, and it is not going down into the ground, then there will be no fruit. So there we have it. That is a simple picture. It is a very profound picture, isn't it? But it is also a simple picture. It is something that is so common. That is something we are so used to. And now the Lord Jesus uses it as an illustration. We see that in our second thought, a twofold application. Verily, verily, I say unto you, what is that thing now? That the disciples do not want to hear. They do not want to hear of the approach of the sufferings and of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't want to hear that. Mary, we just heard that, has anointed the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus explains why. He says she has done this against the day of my burying. The poor you have always with you, but me, my disciples, me ye have not always. Disciples understand that? No, they do not understand that. Why do they not understand that? Congregation, they have no heart to receive it. That is why. The disciples pushed that away from them. Can they change that? They cannot change it. They cannot change it. Is that foolish to push it away from them? It is very foolish. But it is in their nature, isn't it? And it is in your nature. And it is in my nature. Same as it was in the nature of these disciples. Every time that the Lord Jesus is mentioning it, slowly on, step by step, not all in one day, oh how gentle, that he is with his church, to instruct his church, oh, so gently in those things that are so difficult for them, not merely to understand, but so difficult for their heart to receive it. The Lord Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And then what do we read? Many of the Jews believed on him. Oh, what do you think is going on in the heart of those disciples? Oh, then they are so glad. And now the Lord Jesus takes an ass, a colt of an ass, the foal of an ass, and he rides into Jerusalem. Oh, there is clothing. There are palm branches. There is rejoicing. Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. What do you think the disciples thought of that? Or do you not think that they have gone first? In front of that whole line, Do you not believe that those disciples were rejoicing in their own hearts? And now there are certain Greeks. Certain Greeks, what an honor. They want to see Jesus. They come unto the disciples of Jesus. Oh, Philip, Andrew, Jesus, there are Greeks far and wide. The name of Jesus has spread. The fame of Jesus has spread. Oh, it cannot be long. It cannot be long that the Lord Jesus is going to be anointed to be the King of Israel, that he is going to be sitting upon the throne of Israel, that all the nations of the world are come to bow before him, and that we are going to be sitting on his right hand and on his left. What does the Lord Jesus answer? The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Oh, what is now going on in the heart of those disciples? Oh, that is now what we want to hear. That the Son of Man should be glorified. The hour is now come, and now it is coming out of his own mouth. Oh, that everything that has been prophesied of old, everything that we have expected, everything that we have looked forward to, everything that we have spoken about, oh, it is now going to come to pass. The hour is come that Son of Man is going to be glorified. And then the Lord Jesus immediately begins to instruct them about the manner, about how that this is going to take place, and how different that this is from their own expectation. Verily, verily, I say unto you, my disciples, wait a moment. Stop a moment. What you are looking for, that shall come to pass. Oh, the Son of Man is going to be glorified, my disciples, but, how will that be? Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. There can be, my disciples, no life anymore without death. And why not? Was that always so? That was not always so. It has become so. It has become so because of sin. Because of sin. And there can come no life because of justice, my disciples. Man wants to skip over that. The disciples of the Lord wanted to skip over that. The Lord Jesus cannot skip over that. No, he is indeed going to deliver his church. But he is going to deliver his church through that way of justice. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Oh, the Lord Jesus says, I am going to give my life. I am going to give my flesh for the life of the world, for my church in the world, for my church that is all over this world. And you are looking for the building up, my disciples, of my kingdom. And you are looking with all the desire of your heart, my disciples, for my glory. You won't look in vain. You won't look in vain. But how will I now receive that there will be no source of glory that is greater than what is coming from the suffering and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is going to bring forth life. It is going to bring forth the life of a multitude that no man can number. Will they be here too? A multitude that no man can number. It is going to bring forth a song that Boston says is of higher pitch than the song of the angels. Fruit, congregation. Much fruit. But first that seed must die. Cannot be otherwise. And that is why, my disciples, that is the way that I am going. Let us sing 47, 8, 10, and 11. Down unto death thou leadest me. Consumed by thirst and agony, with cruel hate and anger fierce, my helpless hands and feet they pierce. 8, 9, and 10, or 8, 10, and 11 of Psalter 47.
Thank you.
fruitful death. First, a profound picture. Second, a twofold application. And we have heard a little of that first application. That is unto Christ himself. But there is, congregation, a second application. That is not just an application that we make. No, that is an application that is made by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It is an application that concerns that true church of God. For what does the Lord Jesus continue to say? He says, he that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. Thus the Lord Jesus does not only speak about his own death. No, he says that my church is going to follow me. What does that mean? That means that they also have to go through a certain death. Is that now the same death as the Lord Jesus had to go through? No, of course, that is not the same. It is not a death of their body. Their death is not an expiatory death. It is not a death that will pay any kind of a price. But he says that they must die to this world. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Did you ever die, congregation, to this world? What does it mean to die to this world? That means to die to sin. That is now the first death that the Lord Jesus is speaking about here. When he speaks about his own church. When does that happen? That happens, congregation, in the new birth. In the new birth, then there is a death. That is a death to this world. That is a death unto sin. Is that understandable? You say, certainly. Because the Lord says that we cannot serve God and mammon. And what is mammon? Mammon, that is treasures, that is riches. And it is speaking about the earthly treasures and the riches and the pleasures and the entertainments and the sin and the enjoyments that can be found in the midst of this world by nature, congregation. That is our life, or not, or not. In whatever measure, in whatever way that that is in this world, one in this way, one in that way. But is it not all for the world that lies in our heart? And thus that first question. Did you ever now lose your life in this world? That is necessary in the first place. John Bunyan calls it the city of destruction. Did you ever see it as that? Oh, you need a new life to see it as that. Then you need new eyes from the Lord to see it as that. Oh, that death that indeed brings forth, as the Lord Jesus says, much fruit. Not fruit in a natural way, but it brings forth spiritual fruit. It brings forth fruit unto God. Much fruit. Kind of fruit. If we die to sin, And then the fruit is obedience, is it not? Sin is disobedience, boys and girls. Disobedience, that is sin, that is transgression. The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. Do you do that too? Oh, does the Lord ever show to you what lives in your young heart? That there is in our heart, both young and old, nothing but transgression. And that not only we see the guilt of this, but we feel the grief of this. What is that fruit that is coming out of that new life? That is the fruit of love. And then all of our disobedience, that is not just producing guilt, no, but it is producing tears, hot tears, when we are laying on our bed and when we may meditate upon the Lord in the evening hour when we are finished with all of our work. O congregation, if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. There we have it. There we have it. The first point of examination concerning that holy supper of the Lord. And if we know nothing now of this fruit, or if we know nothing of those tears, then congregation, do not place yourself at that table of the Lord next Sabbath day. But go now to your home and say, oh Lord, I miss it then. I miss it then. Because there is no grief in my heart. There is no sorrow in my heart. There is no love for thee in my heart. Oh, my heart is all world, world, world. And I have never died unto the world. When that life is born, then there is so much expectation in that life. Just like a boy or girl. Just like a child when they are born and when they are young. Then they have so much expectation what is coming in life. You have the two, right, young people? Do you know what we don't realize when we are young? That this world is full of death. We don't realize that. Do you know what we don't realize? That moment that we are born, that we begin to die. That we are under a curse. That we are laying under the sentence of death. And that there is coming all kinds of sickness, sorrow, pain, and disease in the midst of this world. All little deaths. Until our end is in the grave. There are more deaths that the Bible speaks about concerning that true church. And that are experienced in that new life. They have to be experienced, congregation. That is not my word. That is the word of God that we bring to you today. Because the Lord says, verily, verily, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, has experienced these deaths. In the first place, the way that he expected, because he has come out of his own land, and he has expected that cure to go in a certain way. And congregation, he had to die to that expectation. He had to die to that way. And he had to agree. He had to be brought into agreement with the Lord's way. The Apostle Paul speaks about this death that we see there in a picture form in the way of Naaman. Paul calls it the first husband. What does he say? For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. What is that first husband? What is the first covenant? That is a covenant of works. What is that first husband that we are married to? That is, congregation, the law of self-merit. The law of self-merit. We're married to it. We're married to it. When we are in a covenant of works, the Lord himself has given that covenant. That covenant Adam has agreed to. And we are now wed to that law that says, do this and thou shalt live. Now the Apostle Paul says, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. What does he say? He says that our first husband has to die. Thus that bond by which we are bound to that law of self-merit, that bond has to be broken. And there is only one way that that bond can be broken. And that is by death. That is the death of that first husband. That is not easy. Or do you think that is easy? That you can just forsake that law all by yourself. That you can make a decision that you are not going to be married to that law of self-merit anymore. It is not so. What do we read of Naaman? We read he turned away in a rage. In a rage. That is what we do. And now if the Lord is merciful to us, then the Lord will work through. Then the Lord will become too strong for us, as he has become too strong for Naaman. The Lord will persevere. The Lord himself will see to it that that bond is broken by death. Solomon says there is no discharge in that war. And when the war of death enters the life of a man, and he cannot fight against it. And when it is this war also, oh, then it cannot be that the work of God is able to be resisted in the life of a man. My Father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? How gentle. How gentle that servant is coming. How softly, how earnestly the voice of that servant, and yet how powerful. How powerful the word of that servant under the administration of that Spirit of the Lord, so that the arrow of the Lord is entering into his heart, and that the heart of that man is conquered. And he has to fall, and the Lord is receiving the victory. Then went he down, all willing people. When? Now when they want to choose themselves, because they do not choose themselves. A willing people in the day of the Lord's power. What happened to the old way? Oh, that old way congregation is forsaken. That first husband is dead. And now there is fruit. Oh, there is much fruit. What is there? Hope. Hope. A new hope. It is a better hope. The old hope is gone. The old hope is forsaken. A new hope comes in its place. That new hope is born. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. A new way, a living way. Oh, it is a way where we read peace on earth and goodwill toward men. That Savior is revealed in the heart of that man. He is revealed from heaven, suddenly, surprisingly, light from above, much light, great light from heaven. Oh, and then that way, oh, revealed unto him, so, so simple and so, so suitable. Wash and be clean. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Do you know that death? Have you lived through that death? Do you know the fruit in your life that is coming forth from the death? That is not the beginning of faith. No, faith now receives a new object. It is the object of the Son of God. It is the object of the Savior that God has sent into the world. Faith. Now directed unto him. Oh, we cannot miss this. We cannot miss this congregation for our soul on our journey to eternity. Oh, faith must come to look upon him. Oh, we cannot miss this. Also for a right attendance at the table of the Lord. Because if the Lord has never directed our heart unto this object of faith, oh, then we cannot do it in remembrance of him. But if the Lord has indeed stripped away from us and given us to die in truth to that former way, to that broken covenant, in all of our need, in all of our misery, in all of our leprosy, and revealed from heaven that way of grace, Oh, then it is possible. Then it is possible to look unto him, that we know to whom we have looked. Oh, then we have entered through that wicket gate. Oh, then we have begun upon that narrow way. And then that sacrament becomes profitable for our soul. How? Congregation, his name and finish now. His name and finish now. You say no. No, he is not finished at all. He is actually far from finished. And why is he not finished? Well, you say he is not yet cured. And that is so. His knowledge of himself is yet very small. His knowledge of God, justice, that is also very small. And the hope that he has been given, that is indeed in that new way, but it is still very general. Or he has just entered upon that new way. He has now to travel. He has now to go in that new way. And what way is that? It is a way that has to go down. Down. He must go down the banks. He must come down from his chariot. It is a way that goes through the valley of humiliation, because that is where that river that he has to wash himself in, that is where that river is flowing. It is a way of uncovering, not before men, but before God. That is a way wherein his disease has to be exposed. That is the way wherein his shame before God is going to appear. It is the way of death. Of death. But it is a different death, isn't it? It is a different death. Or his dignity must now die. All his strength of being a captain, that must all die. All his righteousness, yes, congregation, life itself. Because that disease is a disease that is incurable. Thus that man must stand as a sinner before God. There he stands. There he stands. The Lord says you need Naaman to be uncovered. Everything naked and open before him with whom that he has to do. And now all that leprosy, he cannot hide anymore. He cannot hide that anymore. That is all before his maker. When he is standing there beside, we would say, that river. And then he appears before the Lord alone. Then there is nothing that is human that is coming there in between. No, he has to stand there. And it goes back for him to that way that he was made. When he was made before God. When he was without shame and without disease and did not need to be covered. That is a different death, is it not? Or do you think that is the same thing? Is that the same thing now, young people? Because there are people who want to say that there are no steps in grace. No steps. And will make no distinction how that the Lord is leading his people, denying that there are daughters of Jerusalem and there is the bride, and that there are children and young men and fathers in grace. Is this the same death? Oh, you say no. No, this is an entirely different matter. This does not have just to do with the way wherein he wants to be cured. No, but then we stand here before our Maker, our Creator, who is also our Judge. How would that be for you? If you had to stand before your Judge, then there can be one verdict, guilty. Guilty. How is that? Well, the evidences are all there. They're all there. There is no more covering. No more covering. Where did that disease come from? The Lord will say, the disease that you have, where did it come from? I did not make you like that. Guilty. If we had to stand before the Lord, oh, there a man stands in his sinful existence before the Lord. And there a man is made to agree with that sentence that the Lord has to pronounce upon him. Because of his own sin. Thus we say, congregation, a different death. Oh, there is a death to this world. There is a death to the sin that is in this world. There is a death also to self-merit. Those things we need to know. Those things we need to experience. But there is also now another death that is in the further leading, that is a death to our own righteousnesses. That is a death, congregation, really, unto our very life itself. And we know that is not often clearly experienced in the life of God's people. But Elihu speaks about that in the book of Job. Speaks about a man whom the Lord gives a sickness to. Well, gave that sickness to Job, did he not? And then Elihu says that that man is getting so sick that his bones, they are showing through his skin. And finally, he says that his soul that draweth near unto the grave and his life to the destroyers. And now listen to what he says. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto men his uprightness. It speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks about the surety, that speaks about his work. We cannot speak about all that now. But it says to show unto a man his uprightness. The uprightness of God. There he is. He is ready to die. He is ready to die. And now an interpreter, a great prophet, to come and to show unto him that God is right. That God is right. And to bring that instruction into his heart. Oh, then the Lord convinces that man. Convinces that man. What he is worthy of. Because of his own sin. Oh, uprightness. The righteousness of God. Then I am worthy to be cut off. And I am worthy to be cast away from the Lord forever and forever. And then, listen, then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. That is the judge. That judge is speaking. That judge acquits that man based on the ransom of his only begotten son. Oh, you see Naaman standing there? He is standing there at the edge of that river. And he is completely uncovered before the Lord. And then one time, two times, three times, seven times, dipping himself into that muddy Jordan, so despised by himself formerly. And what do we read? We read he is released, that his flesh came again unto him like the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. What does Elihu say? In the book of Job, says the same thing. It's all one, the word of God. And his flesh shall be fresher than a child's, and he shall return unto the days of his youth. And what does the Lord Jesus say? It's all one. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. What fruit is it? Or that is the fruit of life. There that man is released from that sentence of death. That is by the judge himself. The malady congregation is no longer just covered with his royal robes. No, now it is that the case is solved. Oh, now it is that the malady is completely cured. Oh, then there is fruit. Then it is life. It is life coming up out of the grave. It is life coming up out of death. That mighty God, that everlasting Savior, he has grappled with the very cause of that death. Oh, he has himself paid the debt. He has himself satisfied that justice. And now that death cannot hold him any longer. It has to let him go. Satan's head is bruised. The power of the devil is gone. O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? People of the Lord, Is it now enough? Is it now enough? All that the Lord has brought you into the beginning of that way. In the beginning of that way. All that the Lord has brought you through that wicked gate. That the Lord has brought you with Naaman. That he has taken away the rage. That the Lord has given you to bow. And when he has revealed unto you a new way, a new living way, all that he has made you so to rejoice. I rejoice and tremble. You have rejoiced when you have seen him. But do you also tremble? Is the case now finished with your soul? Can you just go on now in your life without receiving what Naaman did receive? The way goes down. The way goes through the losing of your life. And that is the reason that the Lord has instituted that Holy Supper. Or it is for those who must go in that way. Who must go down? Who must be uncovered? All they have general views, yes. They have general views of their own guilt, of their own sin, of that blessed mediator. That new way is opened unto them. But they need yet to go in this way. They need to travel in this way. And that is a difficult way. It is a way against our flesh. And now the Lord, time and again, he will bring that people around that table to strengthen you upon that way. The disciples had to go through that way too. The way of Golgotha. Not to merit anything. They could not do that. It was also against their flesh. They fled. They fled. But the Lord, he led them. The Lord kept them. And now on the other side of that death, oh, then they received such a life. Oh, they received their life. They received it back again from the grave. And they receive that life from the Lord himself. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Was there more death for them coming? Was there more death for Naaman coming? Yes. Yes. And for the church? Yes. And much fruit from it. But our time is gone. We hope to speak about that. The Lord willing, next week, the Lord give to us congregation, self-examination, self-examination. Oh, does the Lord lead us also in the beginning of this way? And does he bring us to that place where he opens up a new way to the gladness of our heart? That faith may begin, even in a general way, with such little knowledge, with such little general views of him. Say, I'm so ignorant, but in all my death, oh, I have seen him, that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Oh, him I need. Him I cannot do without, else I die. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou show us the way? Wilt thou lead each one of us into thy way? Oh, that we may be given certainly and truly to rejoice in thee, who art the way, the truth, and the life. Forgive and take away all of our many sins. Wash and cleanse us in the blood of thy dear Son. Humble us under the help that thou hast given in this hour, and make it profitable, and give us a profitable week together in thy mercy and in thy favor, and help us in all that we must do or go through in the week that lies upon us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 415 stanzas 2 and 4. Unto me, O Lord Jehovah, show thy ways and teach thou me, so that by thy Spirit guided, clearly I thy paths may see. 2 and 4 of 415. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.